In April 2012, a tornado of enormous power ripped through Tuscaloosa, Alabama, destroying portions of the town and killing several people, including a young co-ed who was actually ripped out of the arms of her football player boyfriend and hurtled to her death. That same series of storms spawned tornadoes in Gadsden and in Rome, where I was living at the time, and threw a huge tree into the house of one of my church members, though she was miraculously unhurt. A few months ago, a hurricane tore through our city, rearranging parts of it and remodeling several of our homes. And yet, we dare call creation good? Think back a few years ago, an earthquake under the Indian Ocean created a tsunami that washed over a variety of countries, inundating villages and towns and snuffing out the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. Fishermen who had been on that ocean for years said they suddenly heard it hiss and they saw it bubble in a way they'd never seen before. They saw waves become, as they called it, devouring beast, snuffing out the lives of many. In the wake of such unimaginable natural disasters, can we truly dare claim that creation is good? We're dealing with a topic that's rarely discussed, even in Christian communities. The third facet of evil. The Bible recognizes that there is demonic evil, evil caused by spiritual forces inimical to God that can produce rebellion and chaos. There is moral evil, the evil that you and I and all of humanity creates as we rebel and repudiate God's will. But then there's natural evil. Evil as a part of the created order. Hurricanes, tornadoes, drought, famine, tidal waves, cancers, all sort of violent, destructive forces that are part of the natural order. How can we, in the face of such forces, truly affirm that creation is very good? The Bible is very frank in its acknowledgement of natural evil. Psalm 46 says, "We will not fear, though the earth should shake and the waters foam and the mountains tremble with tumult, even as mountains fall into the sea." God is nevertheless our refuge and our strength. We will not fear, even in the face of these catastrophic, chaotic forces, because even though they are dangerous and destructive and violent, they are under the dominion and the sovereignty of God. We will not fear, though the earth should shake, though the mountains tremble and the waters foam. But again, we have to ask the question, in the face of such forces, is creation truly good? I want to offer you seven suggestions related to the goodness of creation. And the first is this: creation is indeed truly good, but we affirm that that good is a paradoxical good.
which is to say,
though there are destructive, violent forces unleashed in the natural order, nevertheless, creation generally works toward the enhancement and the encouragement and the health of life. Yes, there are destructive forces, but creation generally works toward the health and encouragement and the development and nurture of life. To put it another way, hurricanes are noteworthy because hurricanes are rare. If hurricanes and tornadoes and floods were the order of the day, if that was normal, creation couldn't exist. Life couldn't function. Communities couldn't live. If hurricanes happened every day, they wouldn't be noteworthy. It is the fact that creation generally enhances health, encourages growth, nurtures life, that allows us to say, on the whole, creation is very good, even in the face of those forces that are violent and destructive. Creation is good, even if that good is a paradoxical good. Second, creation has a tragic dimension. Creation has a tragic dimension. Paul recognized it. Isaiah recognized it. If our eyes are open, we recognize it. What does Paul say of creation? Creation is groaning. Creation is yearning for a new creation. Creation is in travail. Do you catch what Paul is saying? He envisions all of creation like a woman in childbirth, groaning in pain and yet anticipating new life. Creation is subject to the same tragic dimension that all of us are under because of our rebellion against God. Creation shares in that rebellion. Creation shares in that suffering. And it's longing for release from decay. It's longing for the birth of a new creation. Isaiah saw the disparity between how creation is meant to be and how it is. There will come a day when the Messiah comes, says Isaiah, when the wolf and the lamb shall lie down together, and the bear and the cow shall share the same pasture, and a child shall play with a poisonous serpent and not be hurt. But that day is not yet. Creation remains a far cry, a fallen far cry from what it's meant to be. Paul saw it. Isaiah sees it. If our eyes are open, we see the tragic dimension to life as well. Third, creation is good, but creation has a shadow side. A shadow side. And this shadow side is integral to the very nature of the world. This insight came to me when I was a teenager and bit into a grape and hit a seed. Now, boys and girls, this was back before some brilliant idiot took the seeds out of grapes. And I realized in biting into that seed, grapes are mortal. Apples have seeds. Grapes have seeds. Human beings and other creatures come equipped with reproductive organs that are intrinsic to us, not extrinsic to us, because all of creation is mortal. We are meant to die. We're meant to age. We're meant to mature. We're meant to decline.
we're meant to die.
The fall didn't cause our mortality. We were created to die. But in God's intent, we were meant to age at every level in conversation with the divine. It is our sinfulness, our selfishness, that means at every stage we experience anxiety and fear. We're meant to die. But we're meant to die in conversation with our God. And that death and vulnerability is a part of life's shadow side. The great poet William Blake saw this so clearly when he wrote his poem, "Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forest of the night. Did he who made the lamb make thee?" The answer is yes. The God who fashioned the lamb also fashioned the tiger. And that shadow side is an integral part of creation. But fourth, that does not mean that the shadow side in and of itself is evil. It can be destructive. It can be dangerous. But the forces that cause hurricanes, wind and sun and water, are the very elements that give us the food that we eat. What if that tsunami had created a great tidal wave in the Indian Ocean that washed over an uninhabited atoll in the Pacific and CNN filmed it? We would look at that and go, wow, what majestic powers are in nature. It's the fact that that tidal wave washed over villages, inhabited towns, and snuffed out life that made it evil. Sometimes it takes just an uneducated insight to help us understand. An old Indian fisherman who had fished that Indian Ocean for decades, after the tsunami, said, "The same deadly sea that killed so many is the ocean that has been feeding us for centuries." That old fisherman had an insight into the fact that the shadow side is not necessarily evil. But it is a part of the created order. Fifth, though the shadow side is dangerous and can be destructive and violent and deadly, it also has a positive side. The day I opened the newspaper to read about the tsunami's horrible destruction, there was a much smaller article about how the hurricane in Florida had done so much good. It had replenished the aquifers. It had ended the drought. It had washed away a deadly algae. We don't think of hurricanes as good, but this had done much good. The same poisons, the same toxins that can take our life in the natural order, are now being used by physicians to cure disease and to save life. Even the shadow side, in all of its painful, difficult violence, can also have a positive impact and enhance life. Sixth, and quite importantly, human beings have to recognize we have a role in nature's destructive power. We are reluctant to admit, even at this hour, that the things we're doing to our environment are making our storms even more violent. And yet you have to have your head in the sand not to see it. We have a role in making nature's destructive side more destructive. Think about it. Hurricanes have been washing over ocean shores for millennia. But it's only in recent years that we had the technology to build condominiums right on the beach. A few years ago, my father owned three pieces of property. Part interest in a condominium in the Cayman Islands, condo in Gulf Shores, and a house in Birmingham. In 2012, a hurricane smashed the Caymans, smashed Gulf Shores, and then drenched Birmingham. And I said to my father, what are the chances of a storm formed in North Africa hitting the three pieces of property you own on this earth? And he said, pretty darn good. We have a role in multiplying the destructiveness. And it's our stubbornness and our hubris and our failure to recognize that that contributes to the power of natural evil. Scientists have been telling Indonesian governments for years, a tsunami is coming. But those governments refused to create a warning system that would have alerted people to move off the beach. The tragedy was compounded by apathy and misplaced priorities. We have a role in diminishing the power of natural evil. Seventh and finally, our world is dangerous, but its dangers are meant to have the effect of compelling us to throw ourselves upon God in absolute dependence. Yes, the seas roar. Yes, the mountains shake. Yes, the earth rattles. Yes, the world is filled with tumult. But God is our refuge. God is our strength, and we will not fear because nothing, not anything in the natural order, can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what makes creation good. That is what makes it very good. May we pray together. Lord, our minds struggle to grasp the wonder of your universe. And there are aspects of it that we fully do not understand and wish sometimes were not there. But we cast ourselves upon your providence for us, knowing that you have provided us through our Lord Jesus Christ refuge and redemption. May we claim that promise in this hour. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.